talk about God's presence and God's glory. Our mandate here at River of Life Church is to declare His glory among the nations, His wonders among the people. And I hope we can get that back up on the wall. We had it on the wall in the other church for many years, and I want to get it back up on one of these walls. But declare His glory. You know, do we even know what that means, to declare the glory of God? Well, the dictionary says that declare means to show forth or to tell about something you have knowledge of. How much knowledge do you have about the glory? Not much. We recognize the name and a little bit. And the same thing with God's presence. Just how much do we understand about God's presence? Webster says to manifest, reveal, or to show. And a part of what God is doing in the world today, and it's going to heat up in 2016, is that He's revealing Himself to a people, you and I, all over the world. And He's bringing knowledge of Himself to us to declare to the nations. Knowledge of Him to declare to the nations. And so we have a huge responsibility that God's about to drop on us. We've already had one for 2,000 years, and that's to declare the gospel of Jesus Christ. But this is going to be another tool in declaring that gospel worldwide. So God still loves the world. Let's don't get away from that. He still loves the world, and time has not changed His heart. He loves this world that He created. And of course, He loved it so much that He sent His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. And God is still standing by that. I like that. Boy, when God guarantees something, you can take it to the bank. It's never going to change. So just like God revealed Himself in the very beginning of time, when God created Adam and Eve, He revealed Himself in the garden. And I want to tell you this morning that God's glory and His presence is going to be revealed to us in a magnificent way, in a way that we probably never even realized that God would do that. So, did you know that, I think I said that a while ago, but did you know that the glory and the presence of God is not the same? I know for years I always thought, well, you talk about glory and God and He's here, and, you know, it's all the same, but it's not. So this morning, I want us to just look at this and kind of come to an understanding, because it's going to be important that we understand this. So turn into your Bibles to Exodus chapter 33, beginning in verse 14. Exodus 33:14. Now, Moses had led this group of Israelites, a rebellious group, by the way, and he had led them into a place in the wilderness. And during this time, Moses saw everything. I mean, his eyes saw some miraculous things. He saw the miracles that were demonstrated in Egypt before Pharaoh. He saw the Red Sea part, and the people go across the Red Sea on dry ground. He saw water come out of a rock when they needed water. He saw quail come into the camp and manna fall from heaven every day because they were hungry. He even saw the ground open up and swallow a rebellious bunch of people. And he had even experienced himself personally talking to God. Oh, that would be the awesome thing. You know, to sit down and have a conversation with God. Yet he hungered for more and more of God's presence. All these miracles he's seen, but he hungers for God. Look at verse 14. And the Lord said, my presence shall go with you, and I will give you rest. And Moses said to the Lord, if your presence doesn't go with us or with me, do not carry us up from here. Now, the heart of Moses knew God's presence. And he had absolutely no desire to go anywhere without God. So you say, well, we would presume if Moses knew God's presence, then he surely should have known God's glory. Yet they appear to be two different things. And we're going to see that. And let's go on down to verse 16. For by what shall it be known that I and your people have found favor in your sight? Is it not in your going with us that makes us different than the rest of the world? Is it not with you going with us? It's his presence that went with them. It's God's presence that made a difference then from the rest of the world. And it's God's presence that's going to make a difference to the rest of the world in this hour. If his presence makes the difference, then why do we try so hard to look like the rest of the world? God wants us to look like him. We are to be transformed more and more into the likeness of his son, Jesus. And Jesus looks just like the Father. And he wants us to look like him as well. Listen, we have God's presence. We have it. God has trusted us with his presence. And if Jesus lives in your heart, then God's presence lives inside of you. And I think many times we forget that. Boy, do we forget that. We do things, we say things, we, get upset or whatever, but God's presence is always inside. He doesn't ever leave. And so we even have an abiding presence, right here in this sanctuary, in this church. And, here, how many times have you heard me say this? But even people that come in from the outside and you talk to them after church, they'll talk to you about God's presence in this place. They feel it. They sense it. And so God is doing something in this church. He's already laying a foundation. And we need to get in on what God is doing. Now, God's presence is a product of a relationship with him. God and Moses had a very strong relationship. And there's no reason in the world today that you shouldn't have a strong relationship with God. All it takes is you making that choice, making that decision. I want to be near you, Lord. I want to be in your presence. I don't ever want to leave, and don't leave me. You see, if you want more of God's presence, then you need to spend more time with him in intimate fellowship, because that's how his presence comes. That is the hunger of God's heart, and we need to recognize that. Now, since Adam and Eve, God has wanted a people who will come to him in intimacy. We will come to him in intimacy. Again, Moses said, Lord, do not send us anywhere if you're not going with us. Don't send us anywhere if you're not going with us. That was the cry of Moses' heart. Yet he turns around and he asks God down in verse 18. And Moses said, I beseech you, in other words, I beg you, show me your glory. show me your glory. You see, there was more that Moses hungered for. There was God's glory, and that's what Moses wanted to see. This glory that Moses is talking about here in the Hebrew is called the kabod. The kabod, it's the weight or the heaviness or the goodness of God. Everything that God is wrapped up in the kabod. And these are manifestations of God that can be seen by the physical eye and even sensed by the senses that God put in man. So not only did Moses want to see God's presence or have God's presence, but he wanted to see God's glory. Wanted to see it. So what about the glory? How does his glory be seen? Or how does it manifest? Well, these are all things that you're going to come to the knowledge of the more time you spend in God's presence. If the glory is different from his presence, then how do we come to know the glory? I believe it's important that we learn about this because God is about to return in a sense that he's never come before and release his glory in churches all over this world. And I see it happening in my spirit. And so if God is going to be releasing glory to others, why should we not receive it? Have you asked him? That should be something that you ask several times a day. Lord, show me your glory. Show me your glory. Reveal yourself in our church. So let's look at some of the manifestations of God's glory so that we can become familiar how God does these things. And the first one is the cloud, of course. It's associated with the glory. And the cloud is the first manifestation. When Moses began his leadership of the children of Israel, God's glory was the physical manifestation of the direction that they were to travel. And we know the story, you know, the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. Let's look at it in Exodus chapter 13, beginning in verse 21. The Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them along the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them the light that they might travel by day and night. The pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night did not depart from before the people. So, God had instructed Moses to construct a tabernacle in the wilderness. And this year I've shared this piece of scripture several times. But it had to be constructed in a very precise way. I don't think we as people today even understand just how precise God is when it comes to things he wants done. We seem to get by doing things sloppy, but God doesn't see sloppy. When he tells you to do something, he'll give you the directions, and he wants it done exactly the way he says. So when the tabernacle was finished, the cloud of God's glory came and rested upon the tabernacle. So let's look at this in Exodus chapter 40, verses 34 through 35. Then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation because the cloud was present and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Now, the cloud of his glory appeared to the newly constructed sanctuary. And many years later, it appeared again when King Solomon finished the house of God that God had told him to build. Same manifestation, nothing different about it. The cloud filled the sanctuary, and the priest could not stand or minister under the cloud. So God has not changed his glory, even in today. It has been appearing today in this world already. And the only way you can find that out is get in tune with what's going on around the world. There are churches around the world right now that are being able to function with the cloud of God's glory descending into their sanctuaries. Wouldn't that be nice to have that here? Be scary, but be nice. So that's the first manifestation. The second one is the glory is fire. Fire. Like the pillar of fire that led the children of Israel in the wilderness at night, the fire of God's glory rested upon the sanctuary at night. It wasn't just that it was resting on a pillar, but it also came and rested on the sanctuary. Let's look at verse 38. For the cloud of the Lord was upon the tabernacle by day, and the fire was on it by night, in the sight of the house of Israel throughout all their journeys. And one of the things I noticed when I was studying through this was God's faithfulness. God's faithfulness to all those people out there in the wilderness. God was faithful. He didn't do anything to let those people down. But yet the people did not respond in faithfulness. And I see that in churches today, including this one. People are not faithful to God. And that's one of the things that God is going to require in 2016. That we learn how to be faithful in the things that he gives us and faithful in the things that he brings to this church. So that's going to be a little change for some people. Now, I've told this story before, but it's always exciting to think about it. I think it was in the early 30s or 20s, somewhere back there. There was an evangelist by the name of A.A. Allen. Oh, it was in the 40s. And he had a tent that he carried from town to town. And he'd set it up in every town, and he'd preach the gospel and talk about the Spirit of God and the glory and all this. One night he had it set up in a little place outside of Los Angeles. And a fire came down and settled upon the top of his tent. And, of course, people began to flock to this tent because they saw the fire. And even the fire department came. And as they came, prepared to put out the fire went out. The tent was not burned, but it was a manifestation of the glory of God. Now, I'll take that. Come, Lord, set a fire on top of this church, but also want to see a fire in the hearts of people of this church. We need that fire, literally need that fire. Now, the third manifestation is of the glory is the smoke. The smoke. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 4 said, and the foundations of the thresholds of the sanctuary shook at the voice of him who cried, and the house was filled with smoke. So where the glory is, sometimes there will be manifestations of smoke. Can't tell you what the purpose is right now, but it'll come just like the fire. And this is an experience that Isaiah had when he saw the Lord manifested in heaven. He had heaven opened up, and he said, you know, I saw the Lord sitting on the throne. And he goes on to explain what that looked like. So smoke was a part of the presence of God. The fourth manifestation of the glory is light. Light. And there are two different manifestations of light in Scripture. One occurred when Ezekiel was taken by the angel of the Lord. Let's look at that in Ezekiel chapter 10, verse 3 and 4, out of the Amplified. Now the cherubim stood on the south side of the house when the man went in, and the cloud, the Shekinah cloud, filled the inner court. And then the glory of the Lord, mounted up from the cherubim to stand over the threshold of the Lord's house, and the house was filled with the cloud, and the court was full of the brightness of God's glory. It was full of the brightness of God's glory. Then look at Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17, verse 2. And his appearance underwent a change in their presence, which we know as the transfiguration. And his face shone clear and bright like the sun, and his clothing became white as light. Now here is Jesus manifesting the glory of God on the mountain. He became like a bright light, and there was a purpose in it, and we are that purpose. We're going to begin to shine like bright lights in this world. That's what we were created to do, to bring glory and honor to God, and to let His glory shine through us. The fifth manifestation is the glory of Jesus. Jesus had the glory on him, in him, around him. In the story of the turning the water into wine, Jesus makes this statement in John chapter 2, verse 11. It says, "This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee and manifested forth his" what? "His glory." It wasn't just something, you know, that Jesus liked to do. And it wasn't anything to bring, you know, anything to him. It was him manifesting his glory through signs and wonders and miracles. And of course, he continued to do that throughout his ministry. And it goes on, and his disciples believed in him. He manifests the glory of God, and his disciples believed in him. And that's a part of what God wants to work through us, is in that revealing of the light of the glory of God in this world around us, so that people may come to know him. They may come to Jesus by the demonstration that we conduct when we're out in this world. And this is what's coming. This is what we're going to be involved in. And the final manifestation is God's goodness. God's goodness in Exodus 33:19. And God said to Moses, "I will make all of my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, before you. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And the goodness of God has no limitation at all. And if you have a relationship with God, then you realize His goodness every day. Do you ever recognize that? God's goodness every day. When you're walking with Him, it just happens. I stand in awe at times of the things that God does around me and in my life. Things I haven't even prayed for. Things I haven't even expected to be a part of my life. But just hanging around God, you're going to be in His goodness. You're going to see things, great things, that He wants for you. But you have to have the relationship with Him. And I think that's what most of the church is lacking in this day and age. They have no relationship. One of the hardest things, I guess, that God has given me as a pastor, as a proclaimer of the word, is to stand on this and not move off of it, no matter what people say. I've got a message for people. It comes in the form of a revivalist, but I've got a message for people that is to draw people out of religiosity and come into the place where God's glory dwells. And it's not going to be an everyday Christian walk that we think is okay. It's going to be something special that we've never walked in before. At least most of us have never walked in. And so I have to stay faithful to this. I can't, you know, move away from it. I can't water it down. I've got to say what God has given me to say. And you know what that does? First of all, it upsets some people. I want you to be a nice, kind, loving pastor, and, you know, overlook my sin. Don't be preaching on sin. That bothers me. I want you to be available every time I need you. I want you to pray for me, Pastor. And these are all spiritual things, yes, but people take them and they go overboard with them. I like, you know, in the Bible it talks about prayer. It talks about you praying for one another. Why is it everybody wants the pastor to pray for them or Daniel to pray for them? Why don't you pray for one another like the Scripture says? And a part of that reason is because there's no relationship. You know that you don't have anything in you, so you want to find somebody that does, and hoping that they'll be able to connect with God in your behalf. But let me tell you, God's fixing to correct that and bring us back to the truth of the Word. It's interesting to be a pastor. But God knows what He's doing. Okay? So don't get mad at me. Get repented. Get up close to God. And I won't offend you then. Because you'll understand where I'm coming from. Amen? So we've got a long ways to go, yeah, but God is good at taking us through things quickly. In fact, He even talks about the word that in the end of the age, things are going to happen very quickly. And I see that every day now. I mean, just like yesterday was the longest day I ever had. I don't know why. But every other day of this year has gone by just so fast, it kind of makes your head swim. And here we're fixing to enter into another new year, and it's going to be faster than the one we just had. Because God said it would. Things are coming together as far as His plan, according to His purpose. And we better get on board, or we're going to miss God. Amen. Show me your glory, Lord. Show me your glory. You know, there's other manifestations that we could talk about, but I won't go into them this morning. But one of them I do want to mention, because it has to do with you praying for one another, and that's the anointing. That's where the anointing comes from, is through the presence of God. And so the same thing that you do about the glory, Lord, show me your glory. Do it with the anointing. Lord, bring me your anointing. Let me have your anointing. Let me walk in your anointing. Because that was a part of Jesus' life. In fact, that's even what his name meant. Jesus the Christ, the anointed one, and his anointing. Amen. So God wants us anointed. And the anointing, as far as I'm concerned, has just been a preview of the glory that God wants to manifest. I don't know about y'all, but I've seen some powerful things happen under the anointing. And I want more. Remember, more is our key word. More, Lord. Bring me more. Give me more of you, of your kingdom. Lord, show us your glory. I believe that Jesus is the express revelation of the glory of God. John put it this way in John chapter 1, verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. Notice it didn't say full of glory, because he was the glory. He still is the glory. And we're in him. We are the glory. We just need to let it manifest in us and through us. Amen? Do you understand this? It's really something different. And I know that people in churches are kind of hesitant when it comes to something different. But it's only different in the church because it's been in the Word of God forever. Amen? So let's look for it. Let's hunger for it. Let's begin to declare His glory that our Scripture mandates. But let's begin to declare it here first in this church. In our own lives. And then we can declare it out into Eagle Pass and then carry it to the nations. We cannot release that which we have not experienced. It's just a fact of life. So it's that experience that we need to hunger for. Ask God for it every day. Ask him several times a day. And we're going to see it come. We're going to see it happen in this church. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the power of your glory, Lord, that you are bringing into this church. And Father, it's something that we are right now beginning to learn how to hunger for. And Father, it's all a part of what you have planned since the beginning of time. It's all about an end time of that which you created. And it's all about bringing a newer and a better thing of this world. And so, Father, we definitely want to be a part of it. And, Father, so many places in your Word you've shown us what to do to be ready, to be expectant, to be looking for that which you're about to release. And so, Lord, as we do these things, we thank you for your faithfulness, O God, that you're going to reveal yourself in such a profound way. And we give you all praise. All of the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.